Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in. And today we're joined by Ashley Bellamy. Ashley, how are you doing today?
I am super.
Great to have you back.
Are you ever any other way?
Mm-mm, not usually.
You always have a smile on your face and you're chipper.
I try to choose my attitude.
Yeah, we do have to make a choice, don't we?
Yeah, because I'm the only one in charge of that.
So, Pastor Margaret, would you like to say why we had Ashley in today?
Yeah, we were just talking one day about who we could have in to be a part of the podcast. And I said, why don't we have Ashley Bellamy in? Because Ashley is involved in the community and does such a great job with Chick-fil-A. I mean, the lines are out 33.
I don't think I have anything to do with that. That is the good people that help me run that store.
Right. But but under your leadership. I've known your name since Ben that was here, right?
Mm-hmm. Both of them were here.
Both of my kids were here.
Yeah. Ellie Grace came to the 4-year-old preschool here when we first moved here. And then she came to after school when she went to kindergarten. Okay. And then Ben, when y'all tried to start a 2-year-old program, Ben came to the 2-year-old program. And he was in there with a bunch of little girls. And my life was like, we were just running all different directions. And Ben, he was a lot when he was 2. And he may or may not have been a biter. And so it ended up that the teacher was leaving. They were getting a new teacher. And Ben bit somebody at preschool, which kids do. I mean, and nobody was really angry, but we never came back. So he was a 2-year-old dropout. And then
I love that story.
I know, it's a good one. And then, I mean, I felt like too, all they were doing was changing diapers all day. I mean, it was just, and then I was late to get him here. And so that was, it was just, it was just better. And so he came back to the 3 days a week to the all day fours.
Okay.
And so, they were the Harbor kids.
Yeah, I remember that. And so your name has been out there for a long time, and I've gotten to know you better over the last few years.
Yeah.
And I know that you are very involved in the community. And, you know, we first started really having these conversations around the Isaiah House, Isaiah 117 House. And, like, I know that you even, like, mentor people behind the scenes and, you know, things that people don't know that you do. Mm-hmm. And so we were just talking about it. I'm like, well, let's just have you in talk about, like, what inspires you to be invested in the community, which we'll hopefully go hear some about that. But when you sit down today and you start talking about, you recently won an award with the Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? I'll mess it up.
Yeah, it's called the Community Champion Award. And the best part of that whole thing was it was like a total surprise. Like, I didn't know that anybody had even nominated me for that. And Scott, that works for me, he said, hey, Ash, have you checked the email? And I was like, no. And he said, because he does that for me usually. Yeah. And he tells me what I needed to know.
So obviously
he thought I needed to know this. And he said, well, and he printed it out for me. And he said, somebody nominated you for the Community Champion Award with the Chamber and you won. And I was like, really? So that was like humbling to me, because I'm just out here living my life, like doing what I know how to do and doing what I think is right and what will make somebody maybe a little bit better than I found them, I guess. And so to me, I wouldn't do anything special, but I guess somebody thought I was.
But it is interesting when we're in the right gifting and we can be who we are in the community, and it doesn't feel like a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched you do it, and you are very, is it gregarious would be a good word for you?
Like, gosh,
you,
I don't even know what that means, Margaret.
What you are, outgoing. And you just, you exude joy and you brighten the room when you walk in.
Well, I hope I do.
And not everyone has that same personality to be that outgoing. Mm-hmm. But I've just watched over the years and then getting to know you a little bit better, have seen that, and that you're using it for good. Like, I'm anxious to hear, like, you came in and go, well, yeah, I won this award, and I've shared a little bit, and I'm like, oh, well, that's so cool. Yeah. Because I knew that you won the award, but didn't realize that you had shared on a video.
So yeah, they did a little, some of that. They did a little video of, I guess they don't want people to have to talk at the award ceremony because that could go on forever. So they did a little video, and that was, they gave the questions ahead of time so you could think about what you were doing. And so I did have to, like, sit down and reflect and think, why do I do this? Before Chick-fil-A, I was a special ed teacher. And so I've always liked to serve other people. I worked at Chick-fil-A as a teenager. And it just gets ingrained in your brain, you know, what you're serving others. Mm-hmm. And then when I became a Chick-fil-A operator, you know, the Chick-fil-A corporate purpose is to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that's entrusted to us. And then the second part of that is to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. So if you really think about that, to some people, we're just a fast food place. To me, I like to call it quick service. It sounds a little bit more, you know, bougie. And we don't always get it right, I'm sure, that, you know, because we're all human. But if you really take that to heart, by having a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A, that means that coming in our doors, we can make people's lives better. Everybody has a story. People that were taking their orders or were serving food, they have a story. Some days people are sad, and you know it, and you can tell.
Yeah.
So I just kind of was like, I just need to make people feel a little bit better than they did when they got here.
We want them to leave us better than they...
Yeah. And so then it started when we moved here. I mean, we didn't know a soul, not one soul here. And I knew that that's how I would meet people, is through Chick-fil-A. And going to church, you know, you meet. But we were really, really, really busy. And we had little kids. And we had to make time for doing exactly what was important.
Yeah.
And so trying to get our doors open. And then you start doing things in the community, marketing and stuff like that. And so we started with the schools. And we have had spirit nights at our restaurant for the 20 years we've been open, or 19, let's just say. We've been open 20 years, but it took us a little while. And so that means that the schools come in, and from 5 to 7, and the proceeds of sales go to the school. And it's so much fun, because as we have evolved, the principal's there, like shaking hands with the kids. You know, the kids think that the principal probably sleeps at the school, especially little elementary school kids. And so that's so fun to watch. The teachers interact, and then they get to be there with their buddies. And all I have to do is eat, and then we give them some back. So that's kind of where all that started. And then, I mean, we get donation requests all the time, and it's a lot. And we try to help as much as we can in a reasonable fashion.
Right.
Yeah. But we've had to put some parameters around that too. Like, you have to submit within 30 days and different things like that. But we try really hard not to say no if we can help it.
Yeah.
And because we, True at Kathy was generous, and I want to be generous.
Right.
I mean, I am representing him, even though he's passed away, but I'm representing his name in running Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And so as that started evolving, then we were like, let's partner with nonprofits. Let's have those kind of things. And so that has really evolved too. And we have Nonprofit of the Month. We've been doing that for about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And we do a community care event for them, which is, if you place a mobile order, some of the proceeds go to that. We do a brownie fundraiser, and then just highlight them throughout our social media and stuff, and really try to pick. They might be national, but we really try to pick
local
to us.
Right.
So, like, for example, Isaiah 117 House,
right,
It's going to be in July. That this is
got it.
The,
heard it.
The nonprofit Hope Distributed was May. This month is the Community Health Center.
Oh yes.
And so, and then next month is going to be the Isaiah House because that's our lemonade weekend. And
Isaiah House is July.
Yeah, is in July. And the so Chick-fil-A will give a portion of lemonade sales on that Friday and Saturday to the Isaiah House.
Yeah.
So that has kind of evolved. And that's been really super fun, too, to be able to support nonprofits and then learn more about them and then tell the community about them that they may not have known.
Yeah.
So that's been, I guess, and also, too, you know, I became a Chick-fil-A operator 25 years ago. So I was 27.
I was going to say, you were about 2 when you started.
Yeah. Well, I was 15 when I started there. I was a sample girl. I'd be like, would you like to try our char-grilled chicken? But so I think that my, and oh, let me just phrase this too. My college degree, and not that college degree is a be-all end-all because it's not, but it ain't in business. I was a special ed teacher. And so my degree is in early childhood special ed. And so the things I learned about business, I learned from a, quote, Chick-fil-A university. They send you to school for that. And then also by hands-on experience. Now, I did end up going back to school, and I got a master's in executive leadership. And that was really fun. But that was during COVID, and I decided I was a little bit bored, and I wanted to do that. And then once I got into it, I was like, this is terrible. I don't know how to do any of this. I don't know how to write like this. I don't know how to... I don't know what I'm doing, but and it took me 3 years, but I finished it. And so I learned a lot about leadership and stuff like that. But I would say that having a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A has evolved over the years and become so much more important to me. And then how important it is to be a part of your community, because a lot of people see us as a chain restaurant, because we are. But we also each... Chick-fil-A is individually owned and operated.
Right.
So the operator, that's me, we live in the community that we serve, and we're hiring the people, we're providing jobs, we're, I mean, all of those things. You know, Chick-fil-A corporate gives us the menu items and the stuff like that, but then how we come up with other things is on us. We have a little bit of creativity, so we're able to do that, and we've employed lots of people in Harrisonburg, and I love when they come back. And right now, there is a little girl that's working for us. Well, she's not a little girl. I mean, I think she's going to be a senior in high school. But her daddy worked for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Years ago. And he texted me and told me she was going to apply. He messaged me. And he goes, I don't know if you remember me. And I was like, yes, I remember you. Little curly-headed boy back there, breaded chicken all the time. I mean, so I don't know. I think... positive influence can go not just to customers, but can go to your team members too. And that has become a really part of the culture of our store and how we try to run things and do things and lead and develop people has become super important as well.
It was really funny. I was in there with my granddaughter the other day. I had my back. I was looking out the window, and I heard someone behind me start, it was an employee, start telling a customer about Celebrate Recovery. And then the employee went on to talk about who was running Celebrate Recovery. He was talking about me. Mm-hmm. And it was such a positive.
It was you.
He was talking about me.
I'm glad I was good.
And so a little bit later, I just walked up and said, well, hey, and I had hat and glasses on just like I do today. And, I had glasses. He had never seen me in glasses. Mm-hmm. He goes, you're in here? Did you hear me talking about you?
I love it.
But what I said, he was sharing something that he thought that family might, it might help them.
Yeah.
That was just beautiful.
That really had nothing to do with chicken or eating.
Right.
And that's
but
what
he was
the best part.
Building of some relationship with them. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. And it goes along with what you're saying. And if they're seeing, and this is the vision, to have this positive influence, that gets, like you said, you've been doing it since you were 15, and it becomes a part of who you are. And the influence that you have in that building don't stay in the building. Mm-hmm. Like that influence, and when I saw the influence, when we had the informational banquets here for Isaiah 117 House. For someone to fill a building that size, that many people in one room with a new idea is unheard of.
Yeah, not once, but twice.
In I filled it up for lunch and
yeah.
In the same day.
It wasn't just me. I mean, people so helped. But
you started it.
Well, but I brought it here.
You did. You started the movement here. You started the movement in the valley.
I hope I lit the fire.
You did light the fire.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And you started that movement. And because of integrity of the business and of you and all of that, people heard and they came.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A gives me the platform to be able to do something.
Yeah.
Because I think Chick-fil-A is so reputable and respected.
Right.
For the most part, I think.
It opens doors.
It does. It opens doors. So I usually never hardly say that I'm the operator of Chick-fil-A.
Right. I've never heard you say that.
I just say I work there.
Yeah.
Because
that's it. It's,
yeah. I mean, again, to me, this, I was made. Now, I'm not going to try and toot my own horn. I was a pretty good special ed teacher. I love those kids. And I just, the way that I saw how I wanted to teach them and guide them. Mm-hmm. And I had the littles, so they were like four. And we sang a lot of songs and did a lot of colors and did a lot of social skills and things like that. But I was made for Chick-fil-A. I was made for this.
Oh,
and,
no doubt.
I think as the older I've gotten, because if I was 27 when I started this and I've done it for 25 years, I just had a birthday last week. So I just turned 52. And I think the, not just serving good food, but the whole mission of what it all entails has become so much more important to me. Now we got to serve hot, fresh food in a clean restaurant served by happy people fast. We're not always fast. And I know that for all you listeners. We try. We're also not a heat and serve place. So we got to, you know, you order a sandwich with pepper jack cheese, no pickle, add lettuce, tomato, and extra bacon. I mean, it's going to take us a minute.
Right.
You know, but, and we also hand bread our chicken, but I'm not making excuses. We should still be fast. And sometimes it catches up with us. But so not just that part of the restaurant, but we all, and not just me, but everybody that works there has a chance to make a positive influence or not.
Right.
And that is big shoes to fill. And I take it really seriously. And Greg being my husband, he's worked with me for all 25 years. So, and has done a lot of things he did not want to do.
He was handing me food the other day out the window.
Yeah. Now that's his favorite thing.
Is it?
Yeah. He loves that. We call that expediting, and that's his favorite thing to do. And he loves the drive-through. He also interviews all of the people that we hire or potential hires. But the one thing about him is I will hear him talking to somebody and think he knows them because of how he's speaking to them, like with their food. And I'll look in the car, he doesn't know him. So he acts like everybody's his best
Never
friend.
Never met a stranger.
I know. Well, he Your probably brother. Has. Oh. He's a little more introverted than me, but when he's expediting, he's on like Donkey Kong. So I love that part too. And he takes that seriously as well. And I always tell the people that work with us that you can work with me forever, but you're probably not going to. I mean, right? We're a stepping stone. Now, I got some lifers, I hope, but we're probably a stepping stone. And a long time ago, I would just get so like upset when people quit to go somewhere else, you know, I like took it personal. And then talking about choosing your attitude, you know, I changed my attitude about that because I was like, if Chick-fil-A's not their dream, then I don't want them to work here. I want them to go live their dream. And I hope that they learned something with me while they were working there that helps them go live their dream.
Better. Prepares them for whatever.
For the next thing.
And so I hope that we're producing some, you know, team members that go out in society and practice some things that they learned at Chick-fil-A.
Absolutely.
To be a positive influence. Yeah. So a lot of my mindset, I guess, has changed a lot. And then the shift is still serving hot, fresh food and all of that. But what a responsibility to leave a legacy and to have an impact. That is a big responsibility. Yeah. And if I love Harrisonburg. I really do. I always say moving here, I think, saved my life. We lived in a suburb of Richmond before we were here, and we had a Chick-fil-A store in a mall, which is in a food court, mm-hmm. which is basically a glorified concession stand. You know, yes. I mean, you got kind of a limited menu. Yeah. You're dependent upon mall traffic. So if your mall anchor stores and stuff mm-hmm. and people start pulling out, their leases become up and yep. then they go somewhere else. And two malls had opened in the Richmond area, and it was really hard there. And I learned there was a freestanding restaurant that was across the street. Mm. And then again, talking about choosing your attitude, when I realized, I was like, I can't compete with them at all. It's not the same.
No, it's not.
It's not mm. apples to apples. I'm in this mm. mall. They got a drive through. I can't compete with them. So I don't need to try.
That's right.
And so, and we really started focusing on just the mall, like that was my community. So I knew every mall employee. Mm-hmm. I knew the girls that worked at Gap. I knew the people that worked at Dillard's because I would walk through their children's department every day that I would park. And there was this little monster sweater that I wanted to buy Ben so bad, and it was so expensive, and we were so poor, and I did not need to spend $50 on a sweater for my 2-year-old. I mean, come on. I did. But anyway, so we knew the people at Dillard's. We knew, I mean, just a lot of different people, and that became our community.
Right.
And we didn't step out a whole lot outside of that because there was the freestanding restaurant. We couldn't really compete with that. So, like, we had a little playground in our community, like stuff you could crawl on and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we started like a little thing called Come and Play at Chick-fil-A, and we'd go down there and have a story time and stuff. I mean,
wow.
I was pretty, yeah. We were pretty creative. We'd have tried anything once. We'd do Snack Attack, and I'd take a wagon around the mall and give wow. everybody a waffle fry bag with like 2 nuggets in it. You know, just a little snack. Yeah. I mean, just fun stuff like that. That was our community there. So when we moved here, I knew my opportunity just got bigger,
yeah.
you know, because we were going to have a drive-thru. We did have a playground, and then when we got remodeled, we were going to lose, like, a lot of seats. And so if we're a restaurant, it doesn't make any sense to have a place where people can come play, but they can't sit down and eat. So, but we try to improvise with that, and we have a coloring sheets out and stuff like that. But I knew my community was going to get bigger, and I needed to be, if I was going to do anything, I needed to become part of the community. I will say this, though. Greg and I were real careful about what we said yes to, especially when our kids were little, because I didn't want them, and I hope that they haven't thought this, but I didn't want them to, I mean, we worked.
Right.
But then also, I didn't want to do so much extracurricular, like be on this board and be on this, that my kids said, yeah, my mom helped everybody else, but she couldn't help us.
Right.
And so Greg and I made a commitment that Sunday night through Thursday night, that we would commit to being at home to put everybody to bed. And we did that until they were old. You know, I mean,
what a great goal.
Ellie Grace was old, and she'd go, Mama, will you fix my covers? You know, so
oh, yeah.
we really try to do that. So people would ask us sometimes, hey, will you be on this board? And okay, what time does it meet? Well, it meets on Tuesday night at 6. Well, no, we can't. You
what
know,
a great boundary.
And so the danger in that is that you go so long and then you're saying no to a lot that you end up, and then finally, when our kids were, you know, old and stuff, and we would do things if they were together. I mean, so it wasn't like we didn't do anything, but, and so now, you know, my kids are grown, they're 25 and 22 and, you know, still around Harrisonburg, and, but it has freed up, some time for us. And that happened, you know, when they went to school and stuff. And so I also think that a lot of people talk about volunteering or talk about nonprofit or organizations, but they like talk about it, but they don't necessarily want to be in the mess with it. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we have to be afraid not to be in the mess. And so with Isaiah House, I'm super pumped about us opening. I mean, I thought maybe we, you know, in 2024, hey, maybe we'll get to open in 5 years. Well, we're going to get to open in two,
yeah,
which is amazing. Yeah. But we're going to be in the mess.
Absolutely.
And I want to make a difference by being in the mess, not just by talking about it. So
yeah, that's a good word.
I think a lot of times, I'm sure that the money that we give back to the nonprofits and stuff, it helps. I mean, every little bit helps. But talking about that and what it is more than that. It doesn't always have to be money. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, our time, our treasures, our talents.
Yeah.
I mean, God has given us all gifts to grow the kingdom. And some people are extremely outgoing and some aren't.
Yeah,
and there's giftings, you know, we all have something that we can give. And I think sometimes we just don't realize our value. And I think that's what I love about you. You know what your strengths are and you dive in with Isaiah 117 House. Like, this is something that you wanted and you believed in. And so because God had given you that, the presence in this valley for such a time as this, like to see how he used that to bring this to fruition is amazing.
Yeah, I felt like if I could just get in front of people and tell them, and that they jump on board. And they did.
And they
did. I think they did, which is, I don't know, it's just amazing.
And I was thinking, we have different skills and abilities. The Bible says we can't all be the foot. Mm-hmm. We can't all be the hand. We all have different parts to play. And like even when you were talking about you and your husband, you're different, but that's because God created you differently because...
If you were Chick-fil-A, you'd be different, right?
Yeah, probably. He probably wouldn't be working there anymore.
Well, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, but it gives me the platform to be able to do that. And to me, it only makes sense that we give back to the community. Yeah. I mean, you people are the ones that eating at our restaurant. I mean, we get a lot of travelers, but I mean, a lot of townies like the Chick-fil-A too.
Oh,
and
my
so
goodness.
They're eating at our restaurant. So it's only natural for me to want to give back.
Yeah.
And I will say that for me, it's never about recognition. I mean,
I believe that.
We talk about the love languages. All right. My love language is not words of affirmation. It's not. I mean, I could, I'm going to do what I don't want to sound whatever, but I'm going to do what I know how to do. And I don't really care if you like it or not. And I'm a lot. I own it and I know that I am and I'm not for everybody. And that is okay. But it's never about recognition. I don't do things so that somebody will look at me and say, oh, but I don't know. No. I just don't.
No.
My love language is acts of service. So for my birthday, Greg B. came and woke me up, and he said, he knew my friend was taking me for breakfast that morning. We were going to walk the puppies and go for breakfast. However, this is what he said. Hey, you have a full tank of gas. Your car is clean. I got it washed and vacuumed. And there's flowers, and he brought me a Diet Coke from McDonald's. Don't tell anybody that, but I love McDonald's.com. So for my birthday, he gave me acts of service. I mean, my love tank overflowed. But for me, it's not about recognition. I could sit here and tell you things that I've done that nobody knows.
That's right.
Stuff for my team members, things I found out about that I'm like, okay, I can solve that problem in 2 seconds. And they are stressing out about that. There's no need for that.
Right.
I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
And don't always tell that.
Right.
I don't want to. I mean, it's just, but I love to serve other people. I have a servant heart.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. You've been listening to part one of our conversation with Ashley Bellamy about what motivates her to serve her community and make it better. And we invite you to tune in next Sunday at noon on 1470 AM and 102.1 FM WBTX, as well as 1150 AM, to hear part two of our conversation with Ashley Bellamy. We pray that today's broadcast has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.